Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 41 degrees and overcast. Today's Thursday, October 20th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The U.S. Coast Guard has brought criminal charges against the sole survivor of a 2010 helicopter crash in which three people from Air Station Sitka died. Lieutenant Lance Leone is facing possible court-martial for negligence and the death of two of his crewmates, all violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and all charges he intends to fight. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
In July of 2010, a newly refit Jayhawk helicopter was flying to Sitka from Astoria, Oregon, when it ran into some power lines strung across a channel and crashed into the water off La Push, Washington. Three of the four people on board were killed. The pilot, Lieutenant Sean Kruger, Petty Officer First Class Adam Hoke, and Petty Officer Second Class Brett Banks. Co-pilot Lance Leone was injured and survived. He's now facing three charges from the Coast Guard. The first is that he negligently failed to navigate the helicopter away from charted hazards and failed to make sure it was flying above 500 feet in accordance with Coast Guard policy. The second charge is for the destruction of military property, the chopper, which was valued at $18.3 million. Both of those charges are misdemeanors. The third charge is a felony. The Coast Guard says Leone negligently caused the deaths of Hoke and Banks. There are two counts, each carrying a maximum of 3 years in jail. Leone is not facing charges in connection with the death of the helicopter's commander, Sean Kruger. The charging document amounts to what would be a criminal complaint in civilian courts. The Coast Guard intends to convene an Article 32 hearing, which is similar to a grand jury, to determine if Leone should be court-martialed.
The Article 32 hearings are not used to determine guilt or innocence.
Chief Petty Officer Kip Wadlow is a Coast Guard spokesman.
It is a review of the evidence that's been collected along with the potential charges that are being faced by the member.
Wadlow says an investigation began immediately following the crash of Helicopter 6017. The details of that investigation have not been made public, and the Coast Guard says they won't be released until after the proceedings regarding Leone are concluded. But a former military lawyer says the damage might already have been done.
Your career can end without being court-martialed. It doesn't take much. In the military, it doesn't take much.
Lieutenant Colonel John Farr is retired now and in private practice in Anchorage, but he spent most of his career as a judge advocate general in the Army. He says in cases like this, acquittals are common, but even charges are enough to do serious harm to a military career.
You're toast if you're acquitted. You're toast if you're found guilty. So as far as your military career, it ends upon the charges in this day and age.
Leone's attorneys have asked him not to speak to the media during this phase of the process. In addition to a military-appointed lawyer, Leone is represented by Anchorage attorney Philip Widener, who did not return calls for comment. Efforts in Sitka are underway to establish a legal defense fund to help Leone with expenses. Farr says the charges against Leone are extraordinarily serious, but not unprecedented. Military accidents always involve an investigation, and often officers connected to the incident face some sort of consequence.
I mean, in addition to the tragedy of whatever happened, if a training accident happens on your watch, you know that it's going to potentially impact your career. Not only your career, but the careers of everybody up the chain of command.
But Farr also says Leone's intention to fight the charges is a good move, especially in light of the felony counts.
Oh, you have to defend yourself. If you're convicted of a felony, there's a lot of disabilities involved in being a felon. You can't serve on a jury. You can't vote. Can't possess a firearm. There's a lot of reasons to not be a felon. And because that's the way our system works, he should fight it. He should definitely fight it all the way.
Wadlow, the Coast Guard spokesman, says the officer who presides over Leone's Article 32 hearing will release the findings to Rear Admiral Thomas Ostebo, who commands the Coast Guard district encompassing Alaska. It will be up to Ostebo whether the findings proceed to a court-martial, whether the charges are dropped, or whether the matter is handled administratively. Leone's hearing is tentatively scheduled for December. With reporting from Robert Woolsey, this is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
Sitka police arrested two people after removing children from a home in the 1600 block of Sawmill Creek Road. Police Lieutenant Barry Allen says the children were removed from the home on Saturday afternoon. A 5-year-old girl was placed into foster care, and a 3-year-old boy was sent to Search Hospital, where he was placed into the critical care unit.
I mean, this is basically is a case of child abuse and child neglect, especially pertaining to the 3-year-old that's involved.
On Monday, police arrested the children's uncle and grandmother, 21-year-old Frank Natkong and 52-year-old Ernestine Ozawa, are each being held on $100,000 bail. Allen says they've been arraigned on first-degree assault charges, although the charges could change when the case heads to a Sitka grand jury tomorrow. Visitors to Sitka will have another way to get around beginning next summer. Sitka Tribal Enterprises plans to roll out 2 trolley-style buses. Camille Ferguson, the Economic Development Director for STE, told the Sitka Chamber of Commerce yesterday that the trolleys should arrive in early spring, and they'll not be running just when cruise ships are in port.
The visitors can get all-day passes, and it'll be operated Monday through Friday, and it'll be on a fixed route hitting all of Sitka's highlights, including the National Park, the Alaska Raptor Center, the Nakahiti dancers, the Russian dancers, downtown. We'll be just doing that circulating route.
Ferguson also said that STE will be adding 2 new buses to its regular transit fleet, bringing the total number of community ride buses to 7. Only 5 will be in service at any one time to allow a maintenance rotation. The community ride began in 1992 with 2 vehicles. It serves over 200 riders per day. The other big development for STE is a proposed remodel of the retail and backstage area of the community house. Ferguson said that the Made in Alaska gift shop would be expanded into the courtyard area, new dressing rooms will be built for performers, and a commercial kitchen will be installed. She said that STE had already spent $200,000 planning the expansion. Alaskan residents will be able to avoid the dreaded baggage fee on Alaska Airlines flights to or from the state starting in November. The airline held Alaska Day open houses at airports around the state to announce a waiver for up to 2 bags per trip, which is part of a free program the company calls Club 49. John Wright is Alaska Airlines manager at Petersburg's airport, where he explained the deal over the PA system to a crowd of locals and travelers on Tuesday.
When you join Club 49, anytime you fly to or from the state of Alaska, you get 2 free checked bags. So, previously, it's $20 a whack. 2 free checked bags anytime you fly to and from the state of Alaska. So you go to Disneyland with your whole family or Disney World or whatever, everybody's got 2 bags free if you're a Club 49 member.
Wright said there were no catches, and it applies to all Alaskans who fly Alaska Airlines itineraries that start or end in the state, with or without layovers. Alaskans who sign up for the program also get 2 certificates a year, good for 30% off last-minute one-way tickets made no more than 4 days in advance. Wright and other company officials called the program a thank you to Alaskans.
I think over the past years, it feels like, we've got feedback from customers, nickel and diming us and that sort of thing. It's a reality of the economics of the airline industry. I mean, airlines aren't making a lot of money. So it feels nice to be able to give something back. And I think that's especially to the folks in the state of Alaska.
The baggage fee waiver was a hit with the crowd at Petersburg's airport, where the airline set out a catered spread with smoked salmon dip, pickled herring, and almond puff pastry. Lisa Hernandez looks forward to not having to pay for a couple of bags next time she travels out of the state.
I think it's great because I'm going to be making a couple trips, and that they always get you in those bag fees. As much as you book your ticket in advance to try to get it on sale, especially with the PFD funds that they had, the fares, but this is just great, just in time.
The airline topped off its Petersburg open house with a drawing for a couple of free airline tickets. U.S. Senator Maria Cantwell is calling on government scientists to develop a response to a newly discovered virus that could wreck the salmon industry in the Pacific Northwest. Canadian scientists this week announced that the influenza-like virus was found in 2 juvenile sockeye salmon collected from British Columbia's central coast. The same virus, called infectious salmon anemia, has caused losses at fish farms in Chile and elsewhere. Cantwell, a Democrat from Washington, introduced the bill with Alaska Senators Lisa Murkowski, a Republican, and Mark Begich, a Democrat. This measure calls on an interagency group of scientists to provide Congress with a report in 6 months that details surveillance, susceptibility of species and populations, potential vectors, gaps in knowledge, and recommendations for management. Cantwell says the government needs a coordinated game plan to protect the Pacific Northwest's coastal economy and jobs. A rescue team that helped a work crew off a mountain near Kodiak 3 years ago returned over the weekend to clean up debris. Kodiak Island Search and Rescue in 2008 assisted 4 men from Kodiak Kenai Cable Company who were trapped by a storm while building a relay tower on 2,800-foot Mount Sheraton. Storms had since destroyed the tower. The cable company removed much of the tower's remains over the summer and paid for a helicopter to pick up other material on Saturday. Members of the Island Trails Network also helped load reels of cable, boards, wheelbarrows, and 55-gallon drums into cargo nets. Rescue Team President Steve Walbisky says that the cleanup allowed volunteers to train on the mountain. And the Alaska Federation of Natives annual conference kicks off today in Anchorage. Co-chairman Albert Kukesh and Ralph Anderson will open the 3-day gathering at the Dena'ina Civic and Convention Center in downtown Anchorage at 9 a.m. this morning. Among dignitaries expected to address the convention today include Representative Don Young and AFN President Julie Kitka. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for rain showers this morning, then scattered rain showers in the afternoon, highs around 46, southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, rain, highs around 47, southeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy skies, scattered showers, low temperatures around 41 degrees. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.